I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. As a landlord in Brooklyn who says he is not going to charge rent next month for all 200 tenants who live in his buildings.
Attaboy.
And he's explaining why.
For me, it was more important for people's health and worrying about who could put food on whose table. I had tenants that said they can't work. They didn't have money to pay me. I says, don't worry about paying me. Worry about your neighbor. Worry about your family. It's not about being cool. It's about people's health. And I would hope other people could pass this down. I have my roots here. I'm not really worried about winning or losing anything. I just worried about the people's health.
Wow, that guy.
Brings you right back home.
Yeah.
See, all the Brooklyn people, they're good people, BJ.
I mean, you know what, Steve? That is what's lost, I think, with the Northeast. Is that, yeah, they're brash, they're loud, they're screaming, they're yelling a lot, but they're fiercely loyal.
Yeah, I kept waiting for that guy to tell someone to go F off in the middle of all that. Like, yeah. Some like guy gets into, hey, F off, I'm in the middle of doing an interview over here, doing something nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel like we should listen to that again with the Godfather theme, because he had that Godfather voice to him.
On the day of my daughter's wedding, I'm canceling it, and I'm going to give everybody free rent.
For me, it was more important for people's health and worrying about who could put food on whose table. I had tenants that said they can't work. They didn't have money to pay me. I says, don't worry about paying me. Worry about your neighbor. Worry about your family. It's not about being cool. It's about people's health. And I would hope other people could pass this down. I have my roots here. I'm not really worried about winning or losing anything. I just worried about the people's health.
All I'm worried about is my daughter's quinceañera.
Wait a second. How is the Godfather having a quinceañera?
I am a multicultural Godfather.
Yeah, don't assume.
All right, he's 70% Italian.
Come on. Who doesn't like a tamale?
That's very true.
What is that other stuff you eat, Vicky? What do you like, the bespellies?
Los tacos.
Oh, yeah, them too.
The what? The bespellies?
I don't know.
Carne asada, lava.
Yeah, see, the lava, the soap.
The soap?
The soap and lava.
That's a soap, right?
I don't know.
Sopes.
Yeah, sopes and lava.
Enchiladas.
Oh, yeah.
Huaraches.
Oh, huarache. I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah, I just watch them.
Huarache, it's very similar to a sope, just a different, it looks like a sandal shape. So they call them sandals.
I love fried sandal.
They're delicious.
I love lamb. There you go. I wish this guy lived in California.
In the neighborhood that your wife lives in?
Yeah. I mean, they told her that they would defer her rent
Who are they deferring it to? You?
Yeah, exactly. So they like she doesn't have to pay it now, but she'll have to pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy, I mean, I'm assuming this guy is going, you are rent free. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me back. But I mean, a lot of places I think are saying, sure, you don't got to pay your rent today, but you're going to have to pay it some other day.
When everything comes back together, your rent has been tripled.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's awful. That'd be terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's or maybe some payment plan. But in other words, you're going to have to pay it back, which I don't know. I think it's great that what this guy did. This guy obviously has enough to take care of himself. Therefore, he can take care of others. You know, he's got the rainy day fund or whatever he's doing. I hope he's not hurting himself doing this because that, you know, I mean, it's nice to be nice. But if you turn out and you get wrecked because he's got mortgages, maybe he's still got to pay for that building.
Property tax. Yeah, everything. Yeah.
All of that. I mean, so it's like it's, you know, people want to make landlords to be the bad guy. But really, that's their building. And so he may be in good shape. But like I said, my wife, they're gonna be like, yeah, if you can't pay your rent, and it's not even the whole rent, like they'll defer some of it, but you still got to pay some of it.
See, I think it would be cool if, like, let's just say, like, your rent's like, I don't know, like $1,000 a month or something like that. I know that's probably really cheap here, but you know.
Yeah, it is.
But something along those lines, like, okay, you don't have to pay until everything gets back together again, and then we're going to figure out all the math and then maybe add, like, you know, $200 a month to your rent until you pay off what you owed during that time. I think that would be, it's still, you're going to have to deal with, like, an increase in rent for a short period of time, but at least it can help you have a little bit of breathing room and wiggle room during all this crap.
The only problem with that is that if you're a paycheck to paycheck person, which I've seen on the news, they've said so many, like a ridiculous percentage of Americans are actually, that even that bump might be still tough to deal.
Yeah,
it's like this is either way, if you have to figure this out, you know, it's going to be hard for you. And that's even coming back from it. So, and again, not making anybody the bad guy for trying to figure out a way to, because they got to pay their mortgage. But this is a beating no matter how you look at this.
It's insane how everybody's affected. When you really think about it, how it just trickles down to every single person in some way, shape, or form. It might take longer than others, but at some point it's going to affect somebody.
Yeah, and this is, you know, where when you see the really cool acts from people that have money who just like go, here you go, don't worry about it. That's what we need to see. I mean, in this country, we really, really need to see that. So I think
you
this
see
guy.
What Oprah's doing? I'll have to grab that thing.
Oprah, yeah.
She's dropping some serious coinage.
Well, look, it's a great thing what Oprah's doing. We've had this argument before.
Are we going to get into? Are we going to give rich people a hard time because they're not donating enough money?
I just, you know, look. I know how much she's. I know you don't. But if she were given $10, that would be nice. Like if somebody who doesn't have a lot of money gives $10, that's a nice thing. We appreciate that they help out to the best they can.
Right.
I know $10 million is a lot of money. It is a lot of money, and it will be fantastic, and it will help out a lot of people. Is it a hardship for Oprah? I don't know.
She's not saying, hey, woe is me, I got to offer up $10 million. She's giving up $10 million. And I think it's sad that we're in this situation where people are like, well, that's not enough. Or, oh, that must be rough for Oprah. It's like, that's $10 million that's going to help a lot of people.
It's a great deal of money.
I think that we got to stop being, oh, that's not enough mentality. It's like, well, what are other people doing? Like, you know, for her, that's still a good chunk of change. No matter how much money she has, $10 million is a lot of money, and it's going to help a lot of people.
This is where you and I disagree. Yes, $10 million is a lot of money, yes. To her, it really may not be. That's where you and I will always disagree on this, and that's all I'm saying is that...
Oh, I'd like to have as much money as her to find out if that is a lot of money.
Yeah, and I...
So can somebody give me Oprah money so I can figure this out?
But it's
I'll
just,
start working on that, Steve.
But it's just math. It's like, if somebody gives $5...
But look what we're doing. We have this mentality of it's not good enough.
I'm not saying it's...
But your tone is saying, like, oh, it's not that big of a deal for her. It's a big deal. $10 million is a big deal.
$10 million is not a big deal to everybody, but it is a big deal in this situation as far as it will help out a lot of people. But listen, I give money and people are really happy about it, but I tell them, I go, really, it's not that big of a deal. Like, you know, what I'm giving, because percentage-wise for what I'm doing, I go, really, it is nothing. Honestly, it isn't. It's not a hardship for me. Don't feel like you're indebted to me. This is easy for me to do. If it wasn't easy for me to do, then I would tell you, well, listen, this is a struggle. That's all I'm saying.
But Oprah's not going on saying, wow, this is tough for me. She's giving the money. So but why are we even questioning her doing a good deed?
Because and I'm happy that she's giving $10 million. I really, really am happy she's doing it. I just know that she could be giving a lot more, and a lot more rich people could too. This is a time where you can't, you really, like, you've got to really, you got to step up. You know, Bill Gates and those guys are stepping up.
And I'm sure people are thinking that what he's giving is not enough. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like if I'm a celebrity, it's like I'm damned if I do or I don't. If I don't give money, people are giving me a hard time. If I do, people don't think I'm giving enough.
Yeah, and
at least she's giving something.
Well, yeah, she's giving something, but I look at it like, if you know, from where she's from, the person that doesn't have a lot of money that gives $10 to me is doing just as much as Oprah is, maybe even more, depending upon how much that a percentage of their money that is. And that's all I'm bringing up. $10 million is great. It's better than giving nothing, no doubt about it. But you know, you and Listen, you and I won't see eye to eye.
No, I have a hard time making someone feel like they're not giving enough if they're giving something.
Yeah.
No matter how rich they are, if they're giving money, I think that's fantastic.
And I'm not the only person to speak this way. Warren Buffett especially has been one of those people that have come out and said, you know, you could be doing a lot more and you're not. And he's the one that's called out a lot of folks in his tax bracket. Mm-hmm. And I get what he's talking about. It's like, look, you could be doing a lot more and you're not. And yet people extol you like you're some unbelievable person. And he's the one that's come out and said, but I know how much you're worth. That's a drop. That's nothing to you. And yet people make you, because it's a big number, we average people go, oh my God, 10 million. Cause yeah, you go, I'd like to have the money to feel like. But the thing is, you know, if you took a look at percentage wise, it would be like you, maybe, Steve, giving 10 cents. And, you know, would anybody go, wow, Steve, you're a great guy for giving 10 cents?
No, because my 10 cents is not going to help as many people as that $10 million is going to help.
Yes.
I don't think about how much money are you worth compared to how much money you're giving. If you're giving anything, I think that's awesome. And if you're giving $10 million and the amount of people that's going to help, I'm never going to poo-poo that. I'm sorry. Like, I don't care how rich you are. It doesn't matter to me. As long as you're donating, and you're donating to that extent, $10 million, I think that's fantastic. I think we should applaud people like that, no matter how rich they are, because hopefully more people will continue to do that.
Yeah. And I'm the person that will say yes, and they should be doing more, especially now. Now they should be doing more. And that's, you know, I mean, that's the call I'll put out. And, you know, because I think all of us are being asked to do a lot and, you know, take a big hit in a lot of ways in our lives. And that's why I'm telling you. I mean, that to me is, it's great. But for her, it's nothing. It really is nothing. It really, really is nothing. She probably lost a lot more than that in the gosh darn stock market without even thinking about it.
It might not be nothing to her, but it's a lot of something to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's helpful. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's talk about this Amazon employee who quit because, well, he didn't want to help ship a certain something. Steve will tell you all about it. He's got the Migs report for you at 6:17.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Well informed on the issues of the day? Not this guy. Live from the KISW News Center in downtown Seattle, this is the Migs Report.
Well, thanks, guys. It's a very special day. It's time to step outside once the sun comes out and be on the lookout for a rainbow, because today is National Find a Rainbow Day.
Oh, somebody showed a picture of a rainbow the other day. I don't know what it was. Danny? I don't know. Somebody took a picture of a rainbow recently. So either yesterday or the day before. So I think we're early for Find a Rainbow.
Oh, well, hopefully we can get lucky then and step it up and find a double rainbow.
Double rainbow. Oh, my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense.
Oh my god, look at that. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my god. Oh my god. What does this mean? Oh my god. Oh my god, it's so bright and vivid. Oh! It's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Man, that sums up me at music festivals.
Yeah.
Sitting on a river.
Yeah.
Wondering what's going on with my life.
Oh, what does it mean?
What does this mean? Is this God trying to tell me something? Double rainbow. Let's enjoy it today.
Yeah.
I love that guy. How much acid do you think he was on?
A lot.
He was on all of it. All of the acid. All right, let's head on over to Michigan. There is an Amazon worker who's not very happy to the point where he decided to walk off the job because he's just like, you know what? There's three coworkers at my facility that are sick. And also he feels that we should not be selling non-essential items right now on Amazon.com. And his example is rather interesting, but here he is talking about why they should not be selling non-essential items.
They should not be selling non-essential items. If you go on the website, all the essential items are sold out. Until you restock and until you close this building, shut it down. Dildos are not essential items. Books for kids, yes, but dildos, no.
I don't know. If you ask Vicky,
I feel like this is the time where they're the most essential.
Right? Yeah. I think that that's the wrong item he picked. There may be some other ones.
Like, go with a slinky.
Yeah.
That is important.
I will say it is an amazing advantage for Amazon because brick and mortars can't be open selling stuff, and they can. That's the only concern I have.
This has been that moment where I'm finally, like, you know, we were on the fence about that Amazon Prime for a while, but we got it because of Baby Tatum, and we're ordering stuff nonstop. You know, like, oh, crap, we should get this. Man, it's coming handy right now, but... This guy's trying to stop us.
And you get to watch all those shows now.
Yeah, yeah. None of them are worth our time, it seems, though. I keep trying, and they're not resonating with the missus, man. I tried The Boys.
Uh-huh.
She enjoyed a half a second of it, and then it got a little too weird for her, so we were done with that.
Oh, yeah.
Tried Jack Ryan. Look over, and she's asleep within, like, 10 minutes of it.
Okay.
No, so not happening.
Amazon's doing it. Not doing it. There's a show called Lore.
I'm nervous.
You might try that. See what that makes you think.
I probably wouldn't like
it because they go talk about history times.
I'm going to sleep on that one then.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we're battling this Amazon Prime. They don't have any good comedies, man. They need a good comedy.
Wow. Okay.
Everything's serious on that channel.
Everything's super serious.
It is.
Yeah.
There's no fun shows on there. I mean, they're fun in like that they're well done. Don't get me wrong, but there's no like. Like, just like a fun, quirky comedy.
Well, and see, you don't like British comedies. I think Fleabag is on Amazon Prime, if I'm not mistaken.
Huh.
And that was an award-winning comedy, but again, it's British.
Maybe I need to give that one a shot.
All right.
And we'll see what happens. Well, this is one of the oddest stories, and it happened in this town called Cascade Township in Michigan. For the past 17 years, they've been dealing with somebody that they've been trying to catch, and they've been unable to catch him. And he's a serial flasher.
Oh.
I guess for years, what he would do is he would go on people's porches or in front of a business. He would knock on the window, drop his pants, and then take care of himself.
Oh, that's not good.
For some reason, the cops have not been able to catch him up until now. Apparently, he was finally caught. He's a 54-year-old man by the name of Steven.
Mm. Oh, well, there you go. That makes sense.
And he's been doing it since 2003, which means he started in his mid-30s.
What?
Here's a cop talking about it.
We believe him to be responsible for several dozen indecent exposures over the last almost 20 years. Part of what we know about this crime is the reaction of the victim. It was typically an act that... didn't have an extended duration to it, so it was typically he was out of the area rather quickly. Proved to be pretty evasive over the years. The invasion of privacy that people experience when they're in their home and they feel someone watching them is not lost on us. We take this crime very seriously.
We have a Netflix documentary about a guy who had a Tiger King. They Netflix documentaries on the guy that made Burt's Bees. Mm-hmm. They need to do a Netflix documentary on how it took them 17 years to catch this guy.
Okay, so now you have the next documentary. You know what Steve will watch. Come on, Prime. Get this done.
You know, you got that show called Fleabag. They could call this one Ballback.
Oh.
Wow. You're my hero.
What could they
coming soon.
Yeah, okay.
To Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Ball bag.
Ball bag. Okay, great.
Hey, Rev, I've got a birthday gift for you.
What?
We're all staying in our house until your birthday.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
But, the governor just announced that stay-home order that's going through. Right, because your birthday's May 4th?
Yep, May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. And that's when we're stuck in our homes, at least until now. It might be longer than that, but as of right now, that's what's up. As far as the weather, 48 degrees. We're going to have a little bit of rain, some clouds, and that's the major report. And that's what's up, BJ.
All righty. Thank you very much. Well, talking about documentaries, Joe, you know, Joe Exotic, Tiger King, well.
Finished it yesterday.
And?
I'm sad I can't watch any more Tiger Kings.
Really?
Are you sure? It's one of those weird things where I'm like, man, it was just so absurd that I kind of want more absurdity.
Kind of want to watch it again and see what you missed. That's where I'm at in life.
I do too, man. Because like that last episode really ties a lot of things together. And you're like, man, what a crazy story.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll let you guys do that. You know what? That'll count as my watch. You can say, well, I'm watching
second
for BJ.
We're watching for BJ now.
Yeah.
So that's why you're yelling at the TV the entire time. Yes.
Yeah. So the Tiger King himself has been transferred to a prison medical center because people think he may have coronavirus. And,
you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, his husband Dylan shared this in an interview. He said, we speak like 3 to 5 times every day, but since he's been moved to this new facility, they're putting him on a COVID-19 isolation because of the previous jail he was at. There were cases. Okay, so they're just being, you know, they're being safe.
And he's an older guy. I mean, he's almost 60.
Yeah. And
his boyfriend's like, what, in his 20s? Yeah. Or his husband? I don't even know anymore.
It's his husband.
Yeah.
Dylan shared that even though Joe is currently behind bars, Joe loves the attention he's received since the release of the Netflix show. Dylan said, quote, once the show dropped, he was getting hundreds and hundreds of emails to his jail mail, and he was ecstatic. Of course he would be. He's not a narcissist. Not at all.
No, this is a guy who loves attention.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing about this guy that makes me... And I haven't even watched the show, and I can't stand him.
I saw a tiger.
And you guys have watched the show and say, yeah, he's not a likable guy. He's just an idiot who's got some charm.
It's just a story of a large number of idiots trying to do shady things that eventually catch up to them.
See, I loved it when this was just called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yes, you're
like,
absolutely right.
If it wasn't real, I would be way more okay with this.
You know what? That is an excellent point, Rev. Yeah, it's Always Sunny is not real. That's why I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But if they were real human beings, I'd hate all of them.
You watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you're like, there's no way anybody could be like this in real life. And now we have video proof that there are people in real life that are like this.
Yeah. And then again, does life imitate art? Art imitate life? I mean, in a way, Always Sunny may have, you know, the creators may have met people like this.
I heard like streaming views of past local news reports on Joe Exotic have like gone through the roof right now. Like people are going back and finding like all the, was it Oklahoma?
Yeah.
All like the Oklahoma local news affiliates that used to cover Joe Exotic and his fun antics. Everybody's going to those news sites to watch these old video pieces. Like, I got to imagine that is his reality show available on YouTube to watch?
I don't know if they ever released it because I feel like they got all of it burned. Like, a lot of it burned. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's that Joe Exotic TV thing that he was doing.
The Joe Exotic, I don't know. That has to be somewhere.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Oh, like yeah.
The show that he was doing that's why they have so much footage, too. So he was doing a TV show.
Wow.
I mean, it was like public access quality.
Yeah. It's still the YouTube is up there, Joe Exotic TV, and you can, most of his views on his videos have somewhere between, one of them has 22 million views.
Oh, of course it does now, it's got to be because of the documentary.
Well, I mean, maybe it's about the lion, because it's a cool lion called Bone Digger. Jeez.
No, I bet you're right, BJ. I bet a lot of people are just want more of Joe Exotic, or want to get a vibe of what really was going on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they got 180,000 subscribers on this show.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's just, all right, well, you know, congratulations. You're entertained. Oh. I find myself not seeing eye to eye with society these days, and so I'm just going to have to go, all right, well, you know, I mean, everybody does what they do, but
at least you're entertained.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I can say.
Are you not entertained?
I mean, it's all, you know, even the fact that he may have the coronavirus. I mean, come on, everybody may have the coronavirus. They're now saying that if you're asymptomatic, you can spread this, which means you don't even have a sniffle.
Yep.
You got nothing. You're walking around, next thing you know, oh, I guess I gave it to somebody, which makes sense as to why this just hit us the way it hit us. Because when somebody obviously has symptoms of anything, we tell them to stay away anyway. I mean, we've been doing that long before the virus, like, you know, stay home. We've been, you know, anybody's got a cold. So that's why this hit is so hard, is that now they're like, well, if you're asymptomatic, that you still could be having it and giving it.
But that's the freaky part. You think you're doing everything right, and then all of a sudden you'll find out that you still had it, or and then maybe you're giving it to someone. It's just such a crazy thing to wrap my mind around how this is spreading.
And I look at it myself and think, well, I kept quarantining whenever I had anything that I thought was something. So it's like, I don't know if I never got tested. And even some of the people that got tested, the New York Times came out with an article saying, yeah, some of those tests aren't being done right. Some people actually may have it, and some of the tests may be testing false positive, false negatives.
Are you telling me that rectal exam I took is not the right way to do it?
Nope.
Oh, no, that's exactly the right way.
Okay.
Yeah. Every time you go to the dentist, continue to get that test.
Thank you. Yep. No cavities, no corona.
Yeah, that's how you, that's the line, and it works.
Cavities, huh?
Well, there is one cavity that needs to really be, you know, tested. And Steve gets it every time at the dentist.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, that's a cavity that can never be filled.
Sparkling smile, can't sit for a while.
Ooh.
You all up dentistry.
That's right.
That's their slogan.
I'm not sure they want that as their slogan.
That's not the name of my dentist. I wouldn't do them like that.
Okay,
I don't know what the name of my dentist is. I just go to a place. And
that would be your dentist's office.
Yeah. Watch him walk by, and it actually does say Puyallup Dentistry.
I hope not, man.
I mean, why wouldn't it say that? Like, I'm a dentist in Puyallup. Why wouldn't I have that?
I don't know. It's by the fair. That's all I know.
By the fair dentistry.
I don't even know the name of my dentist place. I really don't.
Well, a quick Google search does not find a Puyallup Dentistry.
Good.
Yes.
But there are plenty of dentists around the area in Puyallup that don't share that name.
Yeah.
And none of them have the slogan, sparkling smile, can't sit for a while.
That I can see, no.
Cool, I'll trademark that.
All right, yeah. Listen, you know what? You've got Boober, and then you got your new dentist.
Yeah, none of these are happening, BJ.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No.
I really think, no, this is the time to be an entrepreneur.
You're probably right. I need some extra money.
Let's get on the ground floor with this one. There's a discussion right now on Reddit about people answering this question. What's a really awkward situation that everyone can relate to, besides this conversation?
My last dentist.
Here are some of the best answers. Well, this happens to me a lot, you know, especially when, though more and more people are being friendly when you're walking, because even though we're socially distancing, which we do, still a wave and a smile, I think people are appreciating any kind of nice contact, because we're not having any.
I think you're right. I also think almost it's like you kind of want to establish that you exist, because so many people just kind of have their blinders on when they're walking, maybe playing on their phone, whatever. I've noticed that where I'm like, this guy doesn't know we're coming up on him. So I'm like kind of trying to give that vibe, like, hey, we're here, we're present, cross the street. Or we'll cross the street because we can't get close to each other.
Yeah. But the awkward, so saying hello or how are you to someone and getting totally ignored, which, you know, prior virus, boy, that happened a lot. People just, you know, around here anyway, don't really like to say hello, or they look at you like, why are you even looking at me?
The one that always gets me, and I always feel so stupid when it happens, is when somebody starts waving.
Yep.
And you think they're waving at you, so you wave back.
Oh, yeah,
and
dude.
Then you turn around and you're like, you are not waving at me, were you?
Sorry about that.
At times, I forget. I'm the worst at remembering who I meet. And so I always just don't know if I've met somebody before, and maybe like they're excited to see me. And I don't want to be that guy that like, gives them a death glare.
Yeah.
That happened once though at a festival. I was not sober. And this person was like waving in the middle of the day. It was at Summer Meltdown a couple summers ago. And they're like waving so excited. And I was like, yeah, hi, how's it going? They just walked right by me, and I'm just like, I just feel like a biggest loser.
Oh, that's so
awkward. And the person
awkward.
I was with was like, how awkward do you feel right now? I'm like, very awkward. Yeah. Let's get another drink.
Oh, there was a witness. That's the worst, too.
Oh, I didn't live it down for a few hours.
Also, the reverse of that, though, where somebody is waving at you, but you don't think you know them, so you just keep your head down, and then they come up to you, and they're like, dude, what's up? And you're like, oh, man, sorry.
Yeah, I didn't recognize you.
I went from 20/20 vision to having really bad vision at that moment.
The second most awkward thing that people are, you know, can relate to is putting on that fake smile when you get a terrible gift.
Oh. I have the worst poker face.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, oh, I look at it, I'm like, cool.
I can't think of a gift that I despise to the point where I had to fake a smile. I'm always pretty stoked about anyone giving me anything. To be honest with you, like, still to this day, I get, my wife will give me something, and even if it's a shirt I've almost never worn, I'm just happy that she even thought to buy me something.
Oh, that's
such a simpleton.
That's the right attitude. That's not a simpleton, actually. That's, I mean, that's the attitude you're supposed to have. It's the thought that counts kind of attitude.
That's how I found out that I'm a terrible gift giver, by the way. For one Christmas, I thought I had the best gift for my wife. I got her slippers that look like hobbit feet. with the little hairs on the top of the toes.
You thought that would be the best gift
I
ever?
I thought it would be great. What I thought it would be that? Funny because but, she's a hobbit and she likes little, you know, she likes second breakfasts and all this other stuff. And
huh?
Yeah.
Hobbits like second breakfast?
Yes, yeah, they do.
You got to watch the movies.
Oh, is she like a Harry Potter head?
Maybe a Hobbit
Lord
head.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah,
oh,
yeah, the Hobbit stuff.
She's and a like, Hobbit head.
Yeah, we want to go check out the Hobbit homes in like New Zealand eventually someday.
Oh, then I don't think it's all that bad if she's a big Hobbit fan.
Yeah, well, look at the look on her face when I gave it to her.
Yeah. I mean, because she's going to walk around with these basically big feet that have hair all over them.
Yeah, big giant hairy feet.
Yeah.
Was this the one big gift that you gave her?
No. But it was still, I mean, I was pretty
they
proud
are weird.
Of it.
I'm looking at them.
Yeah. We still have them, and I think she's worn them exactly once.
Of course.
Just to maybe appease me. I was pretty stoked about that, but also I realized that, that was a not great gift.
And I mean, I can understand why you thought it was a good idea. Like, if somebody gave that to you, if you were as big of a fan, you'd probably be like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes your partner in life just has a whole different set of sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, she's a girl. I don't know. I'm sure there's some girls I would appreciate having hairy feet, but like most girls don't want something that's going to make them look like they have hairy feet.
That's what you got to know. You got to know the kind of, you got to know your partner.
It's kind of the whole crux of that
thing. We're all guilty of giving something to our partner that we think is amazing because it's in our own brain. We don't ever really think of what they want. I mean, and women are as guilty of it as men. You know, it's like, hey, I gave us a candlelight. Hey, look what I'm going to do for you. Candles and roses everywhere. And you're like, this is what you like. I don't like this crap.
Yeah. I'd have a hard time looking excited if someone gave me candles.
Yeah, and that's happened to people, and I've tried to tell women, they go, I don't understand why I didn't like it. And I go, because he's not you. Figure it out, there, genius.
That might be the one. Like I said, I'm very appreciative of any gift I get. That might be the one where I'm having to question, how do I show that I like this when I truly don't?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something. So, Rev, you learned that lesson. It's like, better figure out what she really is like.
Mm-hmm. I've got an awkward situation. I wonder if it's on this list.
Okay.
The one that I always hate, and I feel like such an idiot, because like I said, I'm awful at remembering people, especially if I haven't seen them in a long time. When someone comes up, you start talking to them, and you think you've never met them before, and you finish the conversation by going, hey, it was really nice to meet you. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
Like, we've met like 6 times already. I'm like, when's the last time? They're like, 10 years ago. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I just feel like a douche.
Yeah, and that's well,
that. And I know that. I know. I mean, you can't expect that everyone's going to remember everyone, but I still feel awful and it's so awkward.
I actually get mad when people get mad at me for that. It's like, yeah, we met at a concert like 6 years ago. I'm like, I met 100 people at a concert 6 years ago and I was probably drunk. I'm sorry. Why are you getting mad?
But you don't want to make someone feel bad if like that moment meant something to them and you're like trivializing it. I just feel bad. Like I'm going to feel bad that they're excited and I end it with, nice to meet you. And they're thinking, oh, it's so cool to see you again. I'm like, I'm the douche.
That's another thing humans have to remember is that you being impacted by someone did not impact them the same way.
Right.
And that is something that humans don't get. I hope you get to learn that because I've had people tell me, growing up with me, I was their favorite person, and I had such an influence on them, and they started talking about stuff that we did, and I'm at the table like, I don't remember any of this.
Uh-oh.
And I also am like, wow, I didn't know you thought I was a good guy. I mean, it's amazing. I went to my high school reunion and found out that people really thought better of me than I thought they did.
Funny how your mind works, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this one woman, she was like, you were the greatest, you made my day every time we went to art class, and I'm like, really? I had such. I was scrambling to find a date to the prom, and you thought that way of me? I had no clue you thought that way about me. I just thought you, like every other girl, thought I was an idiot. And that's what I thought. You just never know. And she was like, oh, my God, no, you saved my life. I'm like, I did? What did I do? And she was just like, oh, you're an idiot. But, I mean, I enjoy you being an idiot.
Oh, I thought like, you legitimately saved her life. Like, it was like in a burning car or something.
Well, you know how people go to school and have a rotten time.
You made it better for her.
I didn't know that. She never ever came up and said anything that I remember. She literally said I was what made her day. She looked forward to the 3 times a week.
And
we had
you don't even remember any of it.
And I looked at her and I'm
but
like,
you can't say that. You're going to be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I know I was a moron and being a jokester all the time, but I didn't know it had an impact. I really thought the only people that dug it were my buddy friends, and I thought I annoyed everybody else in class. I had no idea I was the saving grace, and not for nothing, she was really a cute chick. Like, I would have asked her to the prom in a heartbeat. I was so bummed. I was like, you know, 50, like how many years? What, it was our 40th? 40 years later, I'm looking at her going, son of a bee, why didn't I know this?
So did you ask her to the prom?
No, you know, I only go with my cousin, Rev.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, duh.
Come on.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Who is the dad of Stan Marsh on South Park?
Mr. Felding.
No.
Mr. Felding.
Yes.
Who the hell is that?
Kyle.
No.
Kyle is his father, yes.
Danny V.
No.
What? Mr. Belding. Granted, yeah, that's still wrong.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was like Mr. Felding was from a whole different show. Hey, Mr. Felding.
You?
Yeah, I know. Steve has no integrity. Randy Marsh, come on, buddy. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Meigs at 647 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I know if bankruptcy is going to provide me with relief? What are the steps for my situation?
There's so much information out there about bankruptcy with the internet and what people have heard from friends and other people that they've talked to about their financial issues or bankruptcy. There's also a lot of bad information out there or urban legends about bankruptcy. In order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you need to talk to an attorney that's experienced in bankruptcy. So in order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you should talk to an experienced bankruptcy attorney. And right, my job is not to convince you to file bankruptcy. My job is to help you to make that decision and have all the facts so that you can make an informed decision about whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, what benefits it's going to have for you, and what the downside of filing bankruptcy is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.